Alright, I'm gonna get us started. It's that time.
Yeah.
Tweet the link and everything, is that what
we're Yeah, we're
that,
gonna we're gonna do it. Already? I mean, we might as well. We're all here.
Yeah.
Speak now or forever hold you. We are live!
Oh shit.
Welcome to the final episode of One More Podcastle, number 146. My name is Eric Bailey, and for a couple more days, I am the editor-in-chief of onemorecastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I will continue to be the audio engineer, at least for tomorrow, and co-community manager. And this will actually be the last day that you will ever see Jason alive.
I'm possibly Jason Lamb, resident Canadian. This has all been a terrible dream.
That's right. You're going to wake up and there's going to be people singing in your head. You're going to open a door and fall down to a platform. Or you won't stomp on enemies, but pick them up instead.
What? That doesn't make any sense. Why would you want to pick up the enemies?
Madness.
What?
Absolute madness. You'll encounter enemies that you've never seen before, yeah, and won't see for another 15 years, I think it is. Unless if it was at the cartoon show. Whatever.
Yeah.
But you'll have friends. You'll have three other friends where realistically, there's only one that's worth playing as. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, and it won't be you, Jason. So, you know, you're just too average.
No.
Just too average.
Just too average.
So there you go.
All right.
Yeah.
So if you haven't heard, tonight's the last episode of this podcast. So it's been a good run. We almost hit 3 years. I mean, that's pretty good for a retro gaming show. I mean, a lot of them peter out and die a lot sooner, let's be honest. So, for doing this like every week, I'm proud. That's an accomplishment.
Pretty good.
And to celebrate the occasion, tonight's going to be a little bit different. Not that we don't have a lot of flexibility, and I mean, it's going to go off the rails. We know that's just what happens. But we're not going to do any listener emails because last week was all listener emails. We got through a lot of questions. So we did that. We're not even going to discuss what we're playing lately. Whatever. Who cares? Tonight is all Retro Showdown. Even though there's not going to be a poll on the website because the website's going to close, so you can't vote. So we're just going to talk.
Wait, do we have a winner for the last one?
I don't know. I mean, we could put it up there, I guess, because, I mean, people can vote. It's just we're not going to ever announce the winner. We'll just have to.
I meant for 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's what you're saying. That's comprehend the English going on. Yeah, that would have been a good thing to make notes about, huh?
Can I say
the
results?
According to Jason's numbers, I am already beating you, Bailey. So I don't even really care.
It's all right. Bailey lost this last one.
Okay. Yeah. So here's what's going on. Two episodes ago was the last real kind of voting retro showdown going on, and I'm showing a tie between Hunter and Jason. What the heck? So I get to cast a deciding vote? Huh.
No.
Let's see. No. It's between Mario is Missing on Super Nintendo or Duke Nukem Duke It Out in DC on PC. Jason, I gave it to you. Jason gets the last win. Good job, Jason.
Yes.
Good job. Nothing personal, Hunter. I'm not a big Mario is Missing guy. So
hold on. You should probably check it again.
Oh, seriously.
Is this what we're doing?
Check it again.
Don't make me use VPNs.
So that's how you're doing it, you
I'm
cheater.
Not, but I could. And I have stopped myself so hard.
So I guess the result is whatever you want the result to be.
It's tied again and I didn't even vote.
All three of us win.
We all win! Hooray!
Except for Zoop.
Between Hunter's stalling and Jason's technical rigmarole.
I haven't done a thing.
You're not going to be able to get through this episode. You are not going to let us. So as I was,
so it's going to be a traditional episode.
As I was, right?
It's gonna be like every other episode.
Oh jeez, we're going to spend more time talking about what we're eating and old phone books.
Should we bring that back?
And
go get something to eat.
It doesn't work on video, Jason. Like, it was fun when we were audio
only.
I could
stand off to the
side. When it was over Skype, one of us is chewing on something. It's fun to guess, what is he eating? But it's not the same when it's like, what am I drinking? I don't know.
Is that a Suds I hear? Is that a Suds root beer?
I tell you what would be interesting on video is waiting for Bailey to take his shirt off again. Do you remember that episode?
You can just behold the belly hair a little bit. Ugh, I can't lean up far enough. The chair's too short.
Is that what we're doing? Just
right.
I
get some, don't scar I get us, some buttons undone. Oh, God. Here we go. Oh, God. Here we go. Oh, yeah.
So as a steamy of man meat up in here.
So the point is, tonight we're only doing a showdown. Clearly, we're not doing anything else. Clearly. So it's all showdown all the time tonight. And the theme is favorite game. So in theory, assuming I can trust my co-host to do this, because I mean I did it, but we each brought our favorite old game. So we thought it'd be a kind of a fun send-off, at least for us, to just talk about our favorite game, why we like it, why we like old games, why old video games are worth celebrating. So that's what we're going to do for the final episode. Typically, Jason's the timekeeper, and usually I go first. I really should have wrote a script for this one. Shoot. So I guess whenever you're ready, I'm ready.
All right, let me. You may begin.
Something I've been reluctant to believe in my younger years was I would hear older people talk about this idea that life has seasons, and there's things that are supposed to be in your life for a period of time, and then it's okay to let them go. And I struggled with that for years and years. I thought, well, if it's good, it should last forever. Like, why should it end? It doesn't make any sense. But I am coming around to it. I'm getting there. One example is my favorite game of all time. It's Star Tropics on the NES. I know it has flaws, but it came to my life at the perfect time. You see, when I was too young, I tried Dragon Warrior, found it boring, didn't understand. But after a diet of steady platformers, you have to realize I didn't go immediately to Legend of Zelda or 16-bit or whatever. This was my gateway drug, literally, into all other games beyond two-dimensional platformers. It's a great adventure. It's very fun. It's Star Tropics. Music's addictive. There's a lot to say. Yeah.
All right. Hunter.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I am.
You may begin.
The Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past. More later. Yeah. Got that eyebrow kicking for you. You like that? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're right.
Ah, man.
Yes.
So much. Oh, just the one now. Yes. Sorry. Contacts were getting dry.
Nah.
Legend of Zelda. A Link to the Past.
Cool.
Look forward to learning about that game. That sounds interesting.
Right. I guess I'll start.
As he looks for his game right now.
Yeah. No, I picked it 5 minutes.
What do you get?
Jason struggled before the episode. He was sitting there in this existential dilemma, just realizing, I have to like a video game?
Shit.
I can't deal.
All right, I guess I'll start. It's 2001. It is.
No, it's not, dude.
It is. Shut up. It's 2001.
Okay.
A Space Odyssey.
A little game from a studio called Westwood Studios is out, and it's Red Alert 2, Yuri's Revenge. That's
Revenge?
Right, the game where there are tanks with brains in them, psychic soldiers, attack dolphins, giant blimps with bombs, flamethrower troops, Tesla troops, some weird goo thing that'll kill you, clones, communists, very bad but fantastic full motion videos, an active mod community. It was awesome.
Seriously, you had to.
It's Command & Conquer, Yuri's Revenge, the official expansion pack for Red Alert 2, starring Udo Kier.
As Yuri.
Yes, as Yuri.
Well, hey, I mean, Attack Dolphins, that's pretty cool. I think Jason wins. I think we can sign off. So, we had fun doing the podcast. I want to give a shout out to everybody who ever listened.
Yep. Well, see you guys.
See ya.
This game is 13.7 megabytes. I just downloaded it.
What game?
Yuri's Revenge.
It is not that small.
Yes, it is.
It is not. You have some type of virus you just downloaded.
Well, I mean, regardless. That's cncnet.org. I mean, isn't that where you get the game?
So did you bring like a mod of an expansion? I don't understand.
No, it's the expansion pack for Red Alert 2.
Okay. So it is.
And according to this torrent, it's 2.1 gigabytes.
Well, now that is a big virus.
That is a huge virus.
My game is less than half of a megabyte.
Oh, I just downloaded the installer.
So it's just a
I would hope so.
A few hundred kilos. My game.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense to me when I think about how tiny the memory it took for these games are. Because I can play an NES game. And even though, like, the actual amount of pixels on the screen for the art, like, it's just a couple hundred by a couple hundred. Between all the backgrounds and the enemy designs and the programming and the subroutines and the menus... It's funny to me that I can create an image and save it, and it takes like a megabyte, you know? Like, you take a photo on your camera, you can take like a 4 megabyte photo. And that one image is 8 times larger than this 14-hour experience. It's so weird to me. If you've never watched the show before, I'm the guy who's befuddled by modern technology. It's all witchcraft to me. In a good way. Like, I mean, I'm mystified by it. It's cool.
It's all witchcraft and wizardry.
So, Link to the Past. Tell me about that. That's an interesting title. I don't know if I get it. Like, is it about history? Like, is it like a World War II sim? Is it like a Call of Duty kind of thing? Storming the beach of Normandy and all that?
Like, is it an actual Link to the Past? Like, is it a grandson discovering his father's, like... M4 rifle, and then it kind of flashes back to like the grandfather's story as he battles through the trenches of World War II.
Do they incorporate literal links in any of the artwork? Like, there's a chain from one family member to another, like, you know, the family chain, generational linking. I mean,
is it like a weird Japanese like porn game where the chains are actually like tying someone up? That's what it is, isn't it?
I couldn't hold it in anymore. So, A Link's Awakening, for those who don't know, tells the tale of a poor child who has been thrusted into his own future without cause or effect, watches his uncle die, only to be entrusted with the terrible family heirloom of a wooden sword and shield set to destroy the ultimate evil. It's kind of like Don Quixote. Hmm. If you ever read that novel? He's mad. He is absolutely mad. And you go on this wild adventure battling monsters, saving princesses, and smashing people's pots. In their own homes, whether if they are there or not. All in the quest to stop the bad guy. So, it's alright.
Never heard Link to the Past described that way.
Man.
It's really good.
I'll take your word for it. Jason.
Yes.
Tell me more about this mod of an expansion.
No, it's an expansion.
Of a game that's not even
retro.
I
could go on about one of the mods I loved. Here, I like this game so much.
I'll stop joking. Fine, tell us more about...
I like this game so much. This is the only game where I actively participated in a gaming community.
It's adorable. You in a gaming community, aww. Jason. You.
Like, I was on... There's this... there's a mod called Deezire. D-E-E-Z-I-R-E. And they had forums and blah, blah, blah. And I actually participated in the forums. It was great. And the game was fantastic. Hmm. And the website was around for the longest time. But I just checked tonight, and it's no longer around. And I'm slightly sad about it. Mm.
So they found out that it was you.
Yes.
Part of their, okay, their yeah. community. I would have killed it.
Yeah,
too.
I would have killed it as well. Yeah. Honest. But yeah, no, it's great. It's a great expansion. It added a third, you know, kind of army to the game. You play as Yuri's army. After he's like
alternate universe style stuff.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know, it's got crazy psychics. You can mind control enemy units. It's got Gatling guns.
I feel like if you are psychic, then you are crazy. Like, is there such thing as a sane psychic?
I don't
think
so.
Then again, if there were, would we know?
That's true.
Yeah. Does ultimate power corrupt ultimately?
Yes.
Okay, glad we can all agree. One of the great philosophical debates solved!
Solved.
On one more podcast. Well, up next, does altruism exist? Can you choose a course of action that truly does not benefit yourself? Can you actually make the decision based on the desire only to better the situation of others? Or is it impossible to make a choice without doing so, wanting to make that choice? And is that desire and the fulfillment thereof enough to constitute the opposite of altruism altogether? Find out next week! Oh, wait! No, you won't.
Oh, ho!
Oh.
Suckers.
automatically, they're suckers.
Yeah, I guess so.
Can I talk a little bit more about Star Tropics?
Yeah, you can talk about Star Tropics.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks, guys.
I like Star Tropics.
Thank you, Hunter.
I should play Star Tropics.
It's one of those games where
I have some reserves with it.
But... Yeah, I mean, I do too. I think I'll cover the flaws first. There are some cheap areas, like there's rooms that the moment you walk in, you die. Like, that's actually a thing in the game. And
sweet.
In its defense, that's not like extraordinarily like extremely cheap because you learn once. You're not going to walk into that room again. But still, like the first time you do it, and then later there's another room where it happens. You're like, oh, really, Star Tropics? Really?
Well, I think what kills it is that there's no map feature.
Yeah, that's
like you have to draw your own map, which is whatever. I mean, I used to do that, but you would think there'd be some sort of crappy pull down. Be like, don't go here.
This right.
This is where you died.
Yeah. Like, you just have to go by memory somewhat. Another flaw, some people accuse this game of stealing elements from Legend of Zelda. The inventory system, even though it looks different, it works very similarly. Some of the items, kind of similar. The whole using hearts as health and then gaining heart pieces to get more hearts. It's kind of derivative. To which I would say, if you're going to copy off of a franchise, Legend of Zelda is a pretty good one to pick from. Yeah, it's a first-party Nintendo game. It's not like it's some third party trying to, you know, go chintzy and succeed off the back of Legend of Zelda. It's designers recognizing, it's a quality formula for help. Let's go ahead and use it again.
That they improved to a point.
You could say that, yeah. I wouldn't. But even to the extent of, like, the higher your health, the stronger your attack. Like, you have a projectile attack when your health is at its max kind of a thing. Yeah, funny stuff like that. I will say, it's worth mentioning, I think some people forget this. In an era where 99.9% of video games were fantastical, I mean, you play any RPG, it's a medieval fantasy setting, right? If you were to name a game that took place in a contemporary setting, and it was some kind of adventure and not just a whatever, the point I'm getting at is a lot of people hold up Earthbound. I think it's like this, oh, it's this quirky game, and there's psychic children, and there exists in modern times, and there's contemporary jokes, and I just kind of hold up Star Tropics and be like, it's in here too. A lot cheesier in the sequel, albeit, but this one has a lot of heart and soul. It's one of those games that you can tell they put a lot of love into. So
if I were to play either Star Tropics or Star Tropics 2,
right,
which one would you suggest?
I would suggest the first one. I think it's a better game. The second one is easier, and it has smoother gameplay. Not to kind of drop the other shoe, but in the first one, you can't move diagonally.
Right.
Yeah, that's what kills it.
That's
what kills the second one, is you can't. Is that you move diagonally, and it kills everything.
They try and keep like the whole jumping from platform to platform intact, but the fact that you can like rotate freely in midair, like I can do 1080s, and Star Tropics too. First game, you can only move the four cardinal directions, and there's puzzle solving based around that idea. If you're not into hopping on tiles to solve puzzles, stray away from the first one. But the second game has, like, the grass maze, which is, like, ugh, I hate it. And it's all based around time travel. Like, you go back, you see cavemen, you see Leonardo da Vinci, you see Sherlock Holmes, a fictional character. It's kind of weird. You go to Egypt.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas this game, I like Star Tropics because it has its own original mythos to it. Rob the Robot is co-piloting a submarine across the tropics, and then there's aliens. Whoa! Like, people know that now, that it's all about aliens, but as a kid, playing this game, and you're like, going through tropical islands, I'm fighting, you know, little boars and animals, and talking to a parrot, you know, solving a musical puzzle, and then you find out it's all about aliens, you're going, like, on board the ship. That was mind-blowing! And lastly, as far as general descriptive stuff, before we can start arguing, you have to mention the magic moment. And that is, I actually got to do this in real life. There's a letter you get with the game in the original, when you get the all-together complete inbox package, there's a letter from your uncle to the character, Mike Jones, the protagonist. And in the game, it tells you, hey, go get the letter and dip it in water. Dip the letter in water. And you do that, and a hidden message appears to give you the code you need to continue the game. And that is so cool. Like, you think it's escapism to sit there and play the game and like get into it? Sure, but then the game even says, no, go ahead, go back in the real world. I'm still there. I'm still going to affect you. So that was awesome as a kid. Like, whoa. I can't think of another game that's really done quite the same thing. There's been some similar ones, so for sure. So those are some of the reasons.
Yeah, but bridging the gap of like board game and video game is always nice.
Yeah, it's a,
because to me, dipping the letter in water—that's a board game thing. Like, that's a tabletop idea.
Really? Okay, that's interesting. Hey, can you elaborate on that? Actually, I'm curious.
Just taking something physical and doing something out of the ordinary with it. Like, that's.
That's a board game thing?
I what else would you call it? I can't think of anything else to call it.
That's like, true. I guess there's not
that physical.
Yeah, there's not many other forms of game where you grab something physical and be like.
Yeah, it's like what's that Atari 2600 game? Was it? It wasn't just Adventure, was it?
Adventure. Yeah, absolutely.
Where there was like the comic book, and like it came with a comic book, and you had to read the comic book and decipher clues out of the different panels to figure out what the word was that it was trying to. Like the secret word it was trying to tell you, like that stuff doesn't happen anymore. Everything's just digital. Everything's online. It's like, I played A Link to the Past. I streamed it the entire time from start to finish. And I used my Nintendo Power, A Link to the Past, strategy guide, because I still dig like flipping through pages and looking at like screenshots and reading all the little descriptors and stuff, like having that physical, there hasn't ever since, I mean, internet killed video gaming. I don't know if you guys know that.
Yeah, it took a lot of the mystique away.
Video gaming's dead because of the internet.
Yeah, video games are dead. Way to go, internet.
But having that connection of something physical to something that's digital and they interact with each other is very difficult to do. You know, like, I mean, you've got like Skylanders and the whole Amiibo thing and that, but that's all new. Like, we went, I mean, when did Star Tropics come out? It was like 91, 92?
Yep.
No, it was probably earlier than that.
No, that sounds accurate to me. I'll double check, but.
But I mean, that was, and now we're looking, what, 20 years into the future is when they started to do that stuff again. Like, I still enjoy playing the board games that require a DVD
for the interactive. December 1990.
Like, I love that.
Damn.
That was close.
Yeah. I hear you, though. Like, it does add something.
Yeah, I mean, being in a digital age now, like, it's kind of hard to do that. It's not hard to do it. It's easy to do it. It's hard to find an audience that will buy into it, and because you have to spend extra money to do it.
I feel like that's one complaint I have about the Wii U, is that they've never really, and how much is Nintendo's fault versus whatever, the gamepad, that has some interesting possibilities for immersion, but how do you reach out and grab it?
Do it?
Yeah.
That's why I'm kind of worried about the NX, is because the new console from Nintendo was like, you know what? We decided that we needed to work on this console because we were getting a lot of developers coming to us and saying, we want to do this very specific thing, but we can't because it's not available on the system. So we're going to build a console on this, on these couple of developers that are like, you know what? We kind of want to do this thing. Can you make us a console? Nintendo's like, sure, chum.
It's an interesting model.
And then
model.
That game is released.
I mean,
nothing else.
You have to admit, though, it's interesting because within the past year, there's been a shift in the narrative between, oh, consoles are dead, and, well, maybe we can hyper-specialize consoles, lower the bar of entry and success, and there's some in-between ground there. I mean, although, then again, I say that, but there's all the Ouya news coming out that makes it look even worse. So,
yeah,
I guess they just need to release the new Ouya. That's what they need.
I will always defend, and Jason, I think you can kind of agree with a little bit of this with me, but I will always defend the idea of building for a platform, a console platform, being more important to the overall aspect of just video games and their entry into the world, into the public, than a PC. Because I don't know how many times I've spent hours configuring files and downloading DLLs and, you know, like Steam has fixed a lot of that.
Yeah.
And GOG has fixed a lot of that, and itch.io and GameJolt. But like, I still run into those issues. Whereas I know, like, at least from a developer's point of view, I would think, like, okay, I have this hardware. I have to work to this hardware.
Yeah.
I know it's going to work on this hardware. Like, I don't have to account all these crazy megahertz. I don't have to account for all these crazy frame rates because it only runs this. Like, I still feel like there is a fourth tier that needs to be created that is a console that is a computer, essentially, but it's a set, like, platform. And it'd be like, just bring all your shit over here.
Eventually, we're just going to have a modular device that when you want it to have a bigger screen, you just stretch it out. There's your bigger screen. You want it to be a little phone. You poke it together. It's a little phone. You want it to be something you can type on. You flip out the keyboard and type on it. You want it to be a laser rifle.
Right.
You unfold the back and make sure your license is up to date for alien hunting and blast those suckers away before they take us all over.
Yeah. I can't help but think with all these, with the consoles, because they're going towards this, okay, maybe we don't have to, like, compare it to the 90s, where companies spent, like, ton of money pumping, like, you know, making sure, okay, this is going to be amazing looking, to the point where the consoles were, you know, they had better graphics than what you could find on a PC.
Yeah,
at times when they launched, like when that PS2 launched, you're like, holy crap, this is amazing. But as time's gone by, they've gone, okay, we can't spend that money, So we're going to go for cheaper consoles that will, you know, will support for a longer time. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That can do.
But I don't know how long they can do that. Like, I don't know how long that'll last when you've got PCs already like, oh, we're doing 4K gaming.
So what?
True. Well, I will say this. I'll say this. With Sony and Microsoft, yes, I don't know how much longer they can go creating consoles. Nintendo, they're going to go until the company is no longer in existence.
Oh, no,
because
totally.
That is what they do.
They do like, very specialized, cash. Like, this is a Nintendo experience. Yes, this is nothing but that.
And I will argue this point until there is no more Nintendo, but Nintendo is not a video game company. They are a toy company.
Yeah.
They make toys. They're not competing with Sony and Microsoft. They're competing with Hasbro and whatever Disney's putting out. Like, that is what that's the reason that they don't care to put a ton of money into hardware and bring out a $600 console, because they don't care if they don't get Madden. Like, they don't care if they don't get Call of Duty, because that's not who they're a toy company. Like, mm-hmm. they're making toys. And as an almost 30-year-old man, I am completely okay with that, because I love my Wii U and all of that. It's all of the joy that it's brought me. And I will buy an NX without hesitation, especially if there's a Legend of Zelda version.
Yeah, once Legend of Zelda comes out, it's a long wait before I hop in.
Last processing.
So I like how what we're trying to do tonight is determine. We already know the podcast is ending tonight. We know that, but how can we figure out how to end video games too? Games are ending tonight. Die.
Yeah. Just right in the face.
Yeah. Yeah.
The end of all.
So, games. I played through Link's Awakening. Or not Link's Awakening. I keep saying that.
You do.
Link to the Past.
Link to the Past.
At least
you even said that in your intro.
Know the names
I
of
did.
Our games.
Yeah,
although Jason's game seems to have three different titles. I can't keep up.
Well,
Series Revenge,
Command & Conquer,
Red Alert.
Red Alert 2, Years of End.
Well,
okay,
Yeah. I just started playing Link's Awakening again, which is why it's on my mind. So I started playing A Link to the Past. And I kind of went through like the same stages that I've always go through this game, whereas then I'll be like, sweet, God, I'm finally playing this game again. Fantastic. I'm going to crush it. And then I'll get the first three like medallions and jump into the dark world, and I'll be like, all right, I'm burned out. Like, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to keep going. And then like I slowly start moving into the dark world and collecting the crystals, and it's like I always forget the same 8 heart pieces, because it's to that point where you have to manipulate going back between the light and the dark world. And a lot of that stuff, I can't remember exactly where I'm supposed to be and which level or which area.
You don't want to be the FAQ reader.
No. But I still have the same problems with the game. Whereas, so the second to last level is Turtle Rock in the dark world. And you get the first upgrade to your tunic, finally. Like, you're 6 hours into this game, and you finally get an update to your tunic to, like, half your damage up. And then you go to Ganon's Tower, and you get another upgraded tunic.
Hmm.
Like, I don't understand. Like, it's on, like, and that's what kills me. It's because, like, the way that it's positioned in the game, like, Turtle Rock is on the left, and Ganon's Tower is on the right. You actually have to go past Ganon's Tower to leave the area that you're in. Like, there's no other way to do it. Mm-hmm. So, like, why wouldn't you just immediately go to the next level or the next dungeon in the game? It doesn't make any sense. And to get that updated tunic again, you don't get to enjoy it. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I'll admit, the last time I played through Star Tropics was about 7 years ago, and I'm afraid to go back. Like, what if I'm disappointed? What if I just don't like it anymore? What if it's as bad as some people say? It's almost like I'm so sentimental about this game. I prefer this mental image I have of it, which is insane. I should still be enough of a gamer that I want to go play it, but I haven't. It's been a long time.
Play it. Be upset.
Maybe next year.
That's how I look at it.
Reach some new. You're right. I should go for the experience. I believe life rewards boldness. I should make that tough decision. Yeah. You're right, Hunter. This has been a good exchange for me. That's good. I need to get over.
Yeah. Like if anything, I appreciate it more from its storytelling because it's like if you don't have a guide, like the game works. Like that's. I think the what they did with A Link to the Past, especially coming from like Zelda and Adventures of Link, was they were trying to make this world, but not be a complete asshole about it. Mm-hmm. You know, like and Legend of Zelda for the NES, like there were spots where during one of the dungeons, like there was you had to like walk through an invisible wall, like why? Like That is bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, don't do that. Like, nobody knows that. Like, so, like, there's none of those, you know? Like, yeah, they got false walls where it's like, oh, there, you could put a bomb here and it could open a new area. It doesn't, but it could, you know? But they give you a chance to test it before you drop that very precious bomb that you've been collecting, you know?
Yep.
And I feel like they kind of, they went too far with Adventures of Link. With all the RPG aspects, which I always enjoyed. I thought it was cool getting like the bigger magic meter and being able to do all these cool spells and stuff. And then they just made them into items instead. You know, like that's when you get the medallions of like the Quake medallion and the Aether medallion. And like, I think that's one of the things that I realized playing through this game again. And the reason why I enjoy this one over Ocarina of Time is... If you want to get those heart pieces and those extra equipment items, you don't have to jump through hoops. You just have to like figure out where to go. You know, you don't have to play a dumb game where you have to shoot a target 30 times to get a heart piece. Like, that's so stupid. Like, my skills are good enough. I've made it this far. Don't make me test it again. Because now it's just annoying with the stupid mini game. Just give me my heart piece that's behind this rock, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like after, with Ocarina of Time, that is what's happened. Like, they took all of those extra heart pieces where it's like, you know, you don't technically need these heart pieces to beat the game because we give you so many of them. But, I mean, if you want to get them to complete the game, then we're going to make you do all these weird time trials, and we're going to make you do all these silly mini games. And, like, and it keeps going with, like, Wind Waker and Twilight Princess. And I made the mistake of starting up Majora's Mask today, and, like, one of the first things you have to do is chase down kids.
Yeah!
Come on, man. Like, I don't have time for this. I don't care about these stupid
kids. The world's
kids.
Ending in 3 days! Stupid kids.
Find five of us and we'll give you the code. Like, come on. Like, that's that's not my game. That's not my Zelda, you know? Like, that's not...
It is tough to find a good balance because we're getting at a topic of breadth of experience versus depth of skill. If you had a game that was nothing but precision jumping, no items, no health, no enemies, it's just precision jumping puzzles. That's it. I mean, if you gradually ramp up the challenge, and by the end of it, you have forced the player to become this extremely skilled precision jumper, and there's reward in that. But is that better or worse than a game in which the designers have come up with 77 different kinds of tactile challenges? There's this where you have to have memory, this where you have to have reaction time, this where you have to do this, and this where you have to interact with this. You know, it's hard. I mean, that's the challenge video game designers have been facing for 30 years and still don't get right. Like, I will defend Skyward Sword as a Legend of Zelda game. I like the game. It's not like in my top three Zeldas or anything. But there's like one part where... It's actually in the latter half of the game. You meet this dragon, and there's this flood, and this big lake. And the dragon's like, hey, I need you to find a whole bunch of music notes.
Right.
Like, they're literally just kind of bobbing in the water. I need you to swim and find them all. Go find them all. And as a grown man who's played hundreds of video games, I'm sitting there like, Wow, there were people just paid fairly good money to come up with.
Yeah, it's just that's just padding.
Find music what? Notes. Suspended yeah, in see the that's water?
Things like that is what upsets me. Like, now, if the game starts me off and says, "Look, this is all you're gonna do is collect mindless, boring shit," are you in? Then I'm in. Well, like if you tell me at the get-go, yeah.
So that's that why you like Banjo-Kazooie because right you know away what? You oh, it's so know good. It's a collectible.
Because no, yeah, it tells you on the surface, like, look, we're going to learn a lot of crazy moves,
and then we're
going to meet a lot of crazy characters, and you're going to collect a ton of shit. Are you in? And you know what?
He's
I
in.
Was in.
Hunter was like,
I'm
yeah.
still in.
Wind Waker did the same thing, right?
Oh yeah,
you get a chunk of you gotta find these shards,
papers, and
yeah. you gotta swim around. And
well, luckily they fixed that with the HD remake for Wii U.
You know what? Even then, it was still tedious.
Like so many.
Now hold on. True. Let me be the cranky old man. Because you have to have like a little bit of padding. You can't like otherwise go read a book.
No, you don't.
You don't need padding.
Hear me out though, because I heard that they like made the sailing faster, which is great, make it faster. But there has to come a point where you appreciate the emptiness. There's a lot. Maybe I need to write about this. There's value in the white space between the experiences in the game as well. Like the act of having to walk to the next town, that can be an enriching thing.
No, that's fine because I'm walking to the next town and I'm going towards that goal. My goal is not to collect a bunch of crap to make the story move forward. By going to the next town, that act is moving the story forward.
Okay.
The collecting crap is just distracting from that.
Gotcha. I think we agree.
The other thing you have to remember, too, is I agree with you in terms of, like, the sailing, of, like, how majestic it is, of just being on the open water and just, like, experiencing the changing of the time and the fish that jump out of the water. But when I'm 14 hours in, I don't care anymore. Like, I don't have that anymore because I know that I'm at the end and they keep forcing this final objection on me. And, like, I understand that that's what I need to do. The last thing I want is to sail for 15 minutes to the next.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I hate padding.
Jason.
Padding sucks. Yes, Hunter.
I want to hear 15 minutes about your game.
The red alert. What aspect? The crazy skirmish death matches? Okay, so
I just want to know why I should be playing this game and not Warcraft 2.
All right.
I don't want to speak on Hunter's behalf, but I'm sitting here as someone who knows you've played Mega Man 2 and found it to be meh. So I'm very curious as to what propels this game to be your all-time favorite. I'm ready. I'm sitting
there. All right. I love RTS games, but I hate how RTS games have become less about strategy and more about how you can click on stuff really quickly. StarCraft, it's all about actions per minute. It's like, oh, I can just, my hands are flying over my keyboard, queuing up everything. Right? Literally.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
It's dangerous. Any live stream you watch of StarCraft 2, like some crazy tournament, it's some Korean guy and they're talking, oh, we can do 128 actions per minute or something insane. And I don't want to do that. I don't have the time to figure out how to queue up 128 different things in 60 seconds. I want to just plan out my base, build a bunch of crap, set it up strategically, and attack the enemy. I don't want to be like, oh, I got to scout this area and do this.
All in real time.
I like the nice more, we're going to figure this out. We're going to attack. It's more about how many troops I got.
So you really are like a dictator in training, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're basically describing.
I will say.
Yeah.
Military tactic.
Yeah. I will say.
Yeah. Will you, Hunter?
I will say that one of my favorite and most terrifying moments in RTSs is thinking you're doing a really good job at building your army, and then you happen to come across the enemy, and they are 10 times bigger than you, and you freak. I love that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because I'm like, yeah, like, I'm doing really good.
This is great.
I got these upgrades already, and I'm spending money on this, and I'm doing that. Here they are. I'll just send, like, 30 troops over. I'm sure I can wipe them out. They've got 100 waiting for me.
Yeah.
With, like, guard towers and shit. And it's like, oh. All right. I gotta know where I am.
I gotta reevaluate this.
My grandmother used to have the original Warcraft. And I remember, like, the first, I don't know, dozen levels being easy, and then all of a sudden there was no like moderate difficulty. There was just this one level all of a sudden where it was just impossible. I was so frustrated. It just pissed me off. Like I'm the most efficient resource, you know, designator in the world, and I get over there and they have stuff I've never seen that's 10 times as big as my biggest stuff, and they have a million of them, and it's stupid. So that's my really profound
roads in
thought
game.
On.
You know what? I'm going to admit something. I have never played a Warcraft strategy game.
Really?
Really. Never played Warcraft 2. Never played Warcraft 3.
I've never played a Metal Gear Solid game.
You need to
really?
Do that
really?
And gosh, prepare to be confused.
I've come this
slash
close to buying 10 snakes? Not 10 snakes. No,
Twin
Snakes
on GameCube.
How many snakes?
Twin
Snakes
is good.
Sorry.
I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, Twin Snakes is good.
Sorry. I don't know.
But yeah.
Jason, I would recommend Warcraft 2.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right. It's a lot like StarCraft, but super slowed down and not nowhere near as immersive as Red Alert 2.
Okay.
So it's like a baby's version.
It's like a baby's version
of a real-time strategy game that you would turn the music off
yes.
while playing. And even the video, because there's really not a lot going on.
Not a lot going on. All right. All right. I'm also going to say...
And then play WoW.
All right, cool. WoW. I miss it. I'm going to say I one of the biggest draws with Command & Conquer, there were so many mods... People were just pumping them out. So once you got bored of the game, you're like, I'll just go download a mod. Oh, look, there's 50 new units. And they do all these crazy things that weren't in the game before. Or, oh, I really want to play Tiberian Sun, but someone's ported the entire thing over to Red Alert 2. Let's do that again. So it's just...
I mean, it was when it came out, it was fairly cheap, wasn't it? Like, it was a fairly inexpensive game, considering. Wasn't it?
I can't remember. I remember going to the store and buying it.
I remember reading something that was one of the reasons why the mod community was so large, just because it was a fairly inexpensive game to play.
Yeah.
So it attracted a larger community.
Probably.
I could be wrong.
Yeah. Plus, it was super easy to mod. It's just you had these open INI files, so it was like editing a text document. You're like, oh, okay, this. You're just
going
to change this guy so he shoots flames.
Just do this thing.
Yeah,
like
it wasn't like, okay. Yeah, pretty much.
What?
Yeah, you can edit. You remember that.
Yeah, Minesweeper. You can edit the high scores. I used to do it all the time.
Yeah, it's in a text document.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah, we talked about this.
I don't remember that.
But I was really dumb, because I would set it to be like, you know, oh, I beat the hardest in 1 second. Anyone with common sense would be like, that's impossible. You clearly edited the high score table, didn't you? Oh, yeah.
No.
No.
Well, maybe.
Okay, then do it. Show me.
Yeah.
I can't.
It's got to do it on my mom's computer at home.
That's weird, Hunter.
Yeah.
Is it? Is that weird?
I don't know.
No, what's really weird is
I kind of want to play through Star Tropics again.
I kind of want to play Star Tropics for the first time.
Oh, thanks, guys.
But
that's
I feel like I'm only going to get as far as I typically do, and then I'm just going to be like, ah, screw this game.
You know,
I've done
playing. You know what I've thought about doing is, at some point, not anytime real soon, but at some point, I will play through, and I won't live stream it, but I will record it. But I won't upload any of the videos until I've beaten it completely. I know that sounds weird. It makes sense, and I have a reason for it. The point is, like, that. Don't be surprised if you don't hear me mention it for like 2 years, and all of a sudden, I have this long emotional thing about it, and have this playthrough and commentary and articles and ode. Nah, it won't be that in-depth. It'll be like a couple of years, but yeah.
So 2 years. We have to wait 2 years for this.
I don't know. A year. I don't know.
That's still way too long. I mean, I beat the game in a night, so I don't know that's what you're exactly looking to do. But I mean, if you need help doing stuff, I could help you, I guess. I'm free Thursday nights now. So. And typically Friday mornings, actually. That's usually how it all works. Right. So.
Oh, you're going to have a ton of free time.
Yeah, so if anybody's got anything going on, it's not like I don't have 1,000 other projects.
Yeah. Got to find those crates.
Hey, man, those crates appear out of nowhere. And then it's just game over. I feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel good. Like, that was one of the things I wanted to do was to really... I wanted to go back and play through the game again because it had probably been, I don't know, like 8 to 10 months since I played it. And I played it on my... But I didn't play, like, the legit, like, Super NES version. Like, I played... So the Game Boy Advance was part of something? The Four Swords edition or whatever? That's a thing, isn't it? I got a line around here somewhere. I played that. So, like, you don't get the same experience because, like, the music's not pounding in your eardrums and, like, the screen's not ginormous, you know, in your face. So it's a different experience. So good. So good.
So good.
I think it's funny that nobody really thanks you in the game until at the very end. And it's the Triforce. But it's not even the Triforce. It's the essence of the Triforce. It's like, we are the essence of the Triforce. So you're not really here then. Is that what you're saying? Like, you're just a voice in my head? All right, I'm crazy. Fantastic.
I finally lost it.
This last room was an illusion. You must go back through again. No, ghosted goblins. So bad. I do need to play. I don't play enough real-time strategy games.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I like them when I do play them.
Weird dead genre.
Yeah.
It's truly a dead genre. They do not really make RTS games anymore.
Well, do they make... This may be like a silly, dorky question, but do they make single-player RTS games?
Yeah, Red Alert's single-player.
Okay, really?
No,
yeah,
like
there's a... the Red Alert 2... Complete allied campaign.
There's an
Soviet
online
campaign.
Version,
then you can play it online against friends, or you can play it against computers.
Are they on Steam?
No. Aww. They're on...
Well, they're on something.
They're on,
CNC,
they're on Origin.
Origin. Boo.
I don't know if they'll work. That's the only thing.
All right. Whatever.
Yeah,
I was going to find a nice little real-time strategy game, but it sounds like figuring out how to play them is itself a real-time strategy game.
You know what? You can find...
Just send me some recommendations later. If you're willing to play Star Trek, I'm willing to try an RTS.
Most RTS games are just online only now, aren't they?
Nowadays, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
You can play Tiberian Sun for free.
Yeah, if you go to cncnet.org, the majority of those games, the Command & Conquer games, are free to download.
Yeah, they open-sourced a bunch of them. And then people have kind of spruced them up so they work on modern systems.
Yeah, a lot of them are like set to run like Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 and all that jazz.
Yeah. So. Holy crap, they have Red Alert 2.
They do.
For free.
That is also true. Well, there goes Jason.
See you guys.
arguments?
That's my noise. You're taking my noise.
Don't do that. It's annoying, and I have to edit it now.
Right? I wasn't going to do it.
Sorry, guys. Not good. Not good.
Not good.
Not good.
Not good. This is not good.
How about instead of final arguments, we do final sentiments? That sounds even schmaltier to say out loud. But final sentiments. Hunter, this is your last commentary on a game. What do you have to say about Legend of Zelda Link to the Past? I didn't really say much about it. I think it's a great game.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes with that.
Yeah.
Geez. Okay, so... The Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past came at a point in my life where I felt boring as a person. Like, I felt copied. I felt manufactured. I didn't feel unique. And I wanted to be unique. This game allowed me to be something that I have never thought I could. I never thought I'd be able to go on an adventure. I never thought that I'd be able to battle all of these, you know, crazy creatures or rescue a princess. You know, and make some money on the side. It struck me as a child playing this game that there is real adventure out in the world if you take risks and, you know, do the opposites and go the path less traveled. And I've kind of taken that whole idea of, like, the journey and the adventure, not the ending, as a life lesson for myself. You know, it's getting there is what the fun is. It's not what the end result is. Like everything to me is gamified now because of this game. Like, if I need to do something at work, like, and get a project to get done, like, I gamify it immediately because that is just how my brain works now. Like, I feel with The Legend of Zelda, is this game in particular is the only game. Not the only game, but the game that mostly I've aligned myself to and have felt that my life has been bettered because of playing it. And not just to pass the time, but like I feel like I've actually grown as a person when I've played this game.
Damn. Hmm.
That's really good. It's a fun game.
Sweet. Jason, final argument, final sentiments.
Final sentiments.
Command
about
and Conquer, Red Alert 2, Yuri's Revenge.
Well, I will say that this is probably the game that sold me on PC gaming.
Wow. That's
why,
like,
did you start with that?
Damn.
Wow.
Like, I liked my PC games before, but I also really liked consoles and always wish I had, like, you know, consoles. But then Red Alert came out, and I was like, damn. People are making all this crazy shit, and they're just giving it away.
Hunter?
And I can just... keep playing this game forever.
Is it just me, or would that have been good to know like 2.5 years ago?
Yeah, a little bit.
Wow, what a bomb just to a drop. Bit. Way to go, Jason. Saving
wow.
Quite the...
Bam. I have to change my shorts now.
Yeah, that was...
Bam. But yeah, no, this is probably the game that completely sold me on the whole PC gaming experience.
That's saying something.
Yeah, right.
Hunter, did you want a round two?
No. I want Jason to win this out. Like, he wins out everything. Yeah. So,
I liked what you said, Hunter. I'm glad you woke up from the Matrix. A lot of people who are manufactured never realize they are.
Everybody's so negative.
Everybody.
It's sad.
Yeah. So I don't think I have anything like super deep to say about Star Tropics. I mean, it's a game I think is really fun. But I will say this. If you ask my mom about how I play games, and it makes her a nervous wreck because as a kid, I was really hyper. I ran everywhere. The only bone I ever broke was a toe because I was running down the hallway and caught it on something and it bent backwards and really hurt. And I play games that way. I would play Mario. I would hold B the whole time, just like running through. And if I died once, I would turn the system off. I was so frustrated dying. And so some games I got pretty good at. I'd be making these death-defying leaps and just playing just recklessly and taking these risks, but nailing it and just all this stuff. And she would literally scream. Like, she'd watch me play and just, like, you know, you make those little holes and you thread the needle and she'd be like, ah! And She just couldn't stand it, how I played. I think Star Tropics was the first game that I knew it was worth paying attention and soaking in the experience. And I'll give just one example. In Super Mario Brothers, if you warp ahead, like if you use the warp pipes, you don't miss anything. It doesn't matter. The level doesn't call back to a previous level. There's no pop quiz on what was there. There's no reference. It doesn't really make a difference. In Star Tropics, you explore these islands, and they all have silly names. You know, there's Americola, Niscola, Natcola. And there's this one island, you know, you're just talking to people, and they're non-player characters. And normally, they would just be throwaway lines. You're talking to people, and they say this random weird stuff. Whatever, ha ha ha. I have no tomatoes today, you know, whatever. Well, you start talking, and there's this lady who says, you know, I'm the oldest person on the island. I'm so-and-so years old.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, well, that's kind of weird. Some really old lady. But then, like, a few chapters later, like after the dolphins, after this and that and this, you come to this other island and you meet these people who are claiming to be older. And it's just this weird, quirky little thing where it wouldn't mean anything except that earlier you spoke to a different one. No, you know what? I am going to do a second example. There's this insult throughout the game. People say, you know, oh, did you not hear me? You must have bananas in your ears. And you're like, oh, whatever. But they keep saying it. You must have bananas in your ears. It's such a weird Star Tropics thing. But spoiler alert, at the very end of the game, in the ending of the game, the cutscenes, the still frames, the artwork, he pulls a banana out of his ear. And that was just worth the whole thing. Like, that's amazing. You go through this whole game, people are like, you must have, and you really, yeah. So Star Tropics taught me that relationships are worth investing in and not just burning through. Boom.
Boom.
There we go. Hunter, do you have any shout outs, plugs, reminders? Razor brand
last time. I mean, I'm sure you're going to shout out to all those in the live stream, so I'll leave that for you.
Oh, do I have
to? Yes, you do, because there's quite a few of them, and they're being very chatty tonight. So. I don't know. Same as always, ericmhunter.net. That's all my stuff is there. Everything I've ever done, ever, on the internet is there. But I know a lot of people are with the website closing. You know, they're like, "Well, what are you gonna do now? What are you gonna do now?" You know, and a lot of us, we're not doing anything anymore. Like this is it, you know.
Hmm.
And I hope that you would respect those people's decisions not to do it. I can't though. Like I'm still doing stuff. I'm sorry. Like, I'm sure I'm the last person to be like, oh, I wonder if so-and-so's doing stuff. Oh, Hunter's doing stuff. Well, of course he is. Yes, I am doing things. Things that I'm excited about, which doesn't take a lot, if you know any. It's just a minute bit about me. Get excited at very simple things. But no, so I'm excited about the new ventures. That I'm embarking on. I'm excited about the old ventures that I have embarked to help me craft who I am to embark on these new embarks.
Sounds good to me. Yeah.
I don't shave a lot, so just whatever's on sale.
Yeah. Perfect. Jason, any shout outs, reminders, plugs? Tips on how to handle your milk scissors.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to take a break for a little bit. By take a break, I mean probably just work on some other stuff I've had on the back burner forever. So that's what you do. You work on a million things at once, mm-hmm. and you don't finish any of them.
Yeah. That's how it works, man.
That's how it works. And then, yeah, so follow me on Twitter, Jason Lamb, and when choosing milk scissors, sharpen the blade, but make sure that those scissors are the safety scissors.
Huh.
Also helps if, while holding the milk scissors, that you perform a Canadian classic while singing it, the safety dance.
What are we talking about?
For your safety scissors. You don't know the safety dance?
It's just, oh, the safety dance. Okay, sorry. I was lost for a second.
We were drowning in your pauses between words. Just like, where is it?
Good.
I just lost control Good. Of what was going on.
That's what happens when I don't know what I'm going to say next. I just pause. I'm like, words?
It's a very practical strategy.
They're
I'm literally
coming
just
out?
Try and think of the next thing I'm going to say.
There you go. Yeah.
Make sure they're safety scissors. Oh, yeah, that was good. That's good. Let's think of the next one. Oh, do the safety dance. Yeah, good job, Bree.
Yeah. Yeah, do the safety dance. That's what I leave you with, podcast. Do the safety dance.
Do the safety dance.
All right, let's see
here. Because if your
friends
don't dance, and if they don't dance, well.
You can dance if you want to.
There are no friends of yeah. mine. That is a
How
good
about
song.
You, Bailey?
That is a good song.
That is a good song.
yeah, I'm Eric Bailey. You can follow me on Twitter.
Yes, you
are. Nintendo underscore legend. The underscore is important.
I do. It is.
It makes a distinction. If anything, you know, as far as what I'll be doing next, I'm just gonna be a Twitter personality. I'm just gonna make bad jokes forever. That's all I'm gonna do.
Good.
Although I am very, very petty and shallow as a person, so. Every once in a while, I like to do something to remind people that I actually do know at least something about retro games worth sharing. I like talking about it with people, discussing it. I don't have to claim to be an expert, but, you know, don't tell me that Super Mario Bros. 2 is actually called Doki Doki Panic. Like, I'll show you. I don't know. So I'll probably write something someday or start live streaming someday. I don't know. It's a wide open world
Thanks.
Out there.
Do whatever you want.
Probably going to... Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. No more of this obligation to do a regular responsibility thing. So I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll be around. Probably going to lay low for a little bit. Like, not like super low, but not launch into anything huge. One More Castle was pretty big, but it was good. I want to get a shout out to... the crowd that tuned in tonight. Thank you so much for showing your support. Alex Thorault, Jonathan Higgins, Dustin Faber, Kelly Abernathy, Aaron Alcorn, Christopher Swartz, Andrew, is that Carrero? Who is this? He's kind of rude.
Homeless
Derek
person.
Moore, Jonathan Ali, Eric Bailey, Jason Lamb, they showed up. That's nice. Alex Weiss, I was wondering if I'd have to distinguish between the Alexes. Valerie Minnick. Looks like a couple people tuned in but didn't comment. But thanks to you, too. Cause I had a couple people on Twitter said they would pop in, so that was cool. Walter Williams, thank you. Josh, thanks for your maybe. He might watch it later. Yeah, and thank you to the people who listened to us on their commutes, their road trips, who tuned in for the live streams, who listened to 100 episodes just quietly in the background, who just enjoyed it, and you didn't need credit from us, you just listened. Because, I mean, there were weeks we got so many votes in the showdown, like, I don't know who voted, but it's cool to know that there's someone out there. That's a good thing. Because I still believe old video games are worth celebrating. So thanks for joining us in that celebration and having fun. It's as simple as that. Let's see. Don't email us any questions. We're not going to answer them.
I mean, you can. We're just not going to read them.
You just won't read
you
them.
You could. Yeah. If it's like cathartic, if you want to, you could.
No. I got things to do.
Yeah, right. We're not going to stick around for an exclusive portion where we discuss next week's theme.
No.
We don't need a reminder on when to live stream.
No.
I think we're leaving the store open for a couple more days. So go ahead.
Friday?
Yeah. Go ahead. Go buy the Review a Great Game anthology. Go do that. That's something you can do. OneMoreCastle.com.
It's really good.
Shop. It is really good.
Andrew did a lot of work into that, and it's amazing.
Yeah, it looks amazing, and it's the only place you can read my review of Double Dragon 2, one of my all-time favorite games. So check it out. I wrote a really good paragraph. Like, I'm really proud of a handful of the words in there. I'm trying to come up with like a nice, profound way to tie the whole bow together, but I don't know.
Don't.
Like, how do you just
end it like we always do.
Yeah. All right.
Don't kill it, Bailey. Come on.
No, you're right. There's no reason to make it something other than what it is. So, do you guys have anything else to say before I wrap this up?
I hate every single one of you.
I think that's fair. Jason.
I'll second that.
Oh, God.
No, I'll second that.
Retro gaming, because without that, we are completely cynical to the nth degree. But last but not least, for the last time, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. But we're not going to see you next week. Because we're leaving forever. The end.
Hey there, One More Podcastle listeners. Hunter here. We thought we would take this final episode to allow some of our contributors to say their goodbyes. And thanks to you.
Andrew Carrero, co-founder and technical editor. I'm proud to have helped create a positive space where so many friendships could be made. The contributors and the fans are what made One More Castle what it is. Thank you. Thank you for everything.
Hey, this is Joshua Kalo, occasional author of Retro Hate. Being a vampire is my day job, and I just wanted to say thanks to the One More Castle community and crew for helping me make Mario Foot a thing. Sad to see you go, guys.
Hey folks, it's Alex Weiss, creator of Deported and co-writer for Retro Power, and I just want to say what a joy it's been to work with One More Castle, and I've loved getting to know a lot of the contributors and a lot of the people in the community and people in the community who have become contributors. You can continue to follow my antics on Twitter at Chronoslinger and on the YouTube, same name as the Twitter handle. And just look to those venues in the near future for possible new projects. It's been good and it's been fun. See you around.
Chris Swartz, Raising a Gamer contributor for One More Castle. In the year that I've been contributing to One More Castle, I've learned more about gaming, I've become a more creative person, and most importantly, I've made tons of new friends. I wish everyone the best in their future endeavors, and I hope that everyone keeps in touch. I really look forward to working and collaborating with each and every one of you going forward.
From all of us at OneMoreCastle.com, thank you, and game on.